shit you already know. The question is just how far will this go? How far will he take it and when will he stop? Shady man, and I told you once, homie, to ease up, but you just won't listen, will you? Nah, I guess not. You just can't, can you? Man, I can't stand you. You're rotten. What you plotting for us? Man, when are you gonna let up? I guess things are gonna get much worse for they get better. Holy Toledo, it's Angelina Jolie, amigo. She told me, yo, Shady, just send your penis to me, I'll deep throat. And Brad, if you try to stand between us, then we gon' see, bro. Who was a fantasy? I don't mean to damage your ego. You faggots want
to pass. Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning into the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop up some good game on tonight's show, or today's show, rather, as we usually do. Today's show is brought to you by a book called The Aha Moment by Corey the Author. Now, this book is called A Guide to Creating a Game Changer. If you want to be successful, you want to have your game tight, you want to know how to focus, you want to be motivated, check out this book, The Aha Moment, The Guide to Creating a Game Changer, available right now on Amazon.com, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break, and when we get back, we're going to take some calls from the family. So you don't move a muscle, we'll be right back, right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Have you noticed that men's clothing options these days have become very redundant? Have you grown tired of putting your hard-earned money into clothing brands that lack quality and have no creativity to your style? Well, that can be fixed right now with the brand new clothing line called Intrepid Genius. That clothing line will fill those clothing gaps and it will have you looking very, very fly in the process. Check out their website right now at intrepidgenius.com. That's I-N-T-R-E-P-I-D. Genius.com. Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Sandra. Because you're a hoe.
Oh, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. And glad to have y'all tuning in on this lovely, lovely day. I hope y'all got your copies of Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. If you don't, you're slipping. If you don't, you're messing up in the game if you don't have it. All of you should have your Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs on deck. Understand me? And you should have all your Tariq Elite clothing gear on deck. That's at TariqElite.com. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's show. I want to talk about, a little later in the show, I want to talk about the Nat Parker movie, The Birth of a Nation, and the controversy surrounding that. We'll get on that a little bit later. There's some other things. Let me see who's on the phone early. Let's see who's on the phone. Let's see what's the vibe right now. What's up? Who's calling?
It's Jonathan from Atlanta.
Jonathan from Atlanta. How you doing, John?
No, doing pretty good, man. I just got a quick question for you, man. Well, a little comment.
Go ahead.
I know you see how everybody's jumping on Nate Parker for the pad rate charge.
Yeah.
But they're not as angry about these two white dudes that got off on rape. I just think it's kind of funny. I like to compare things out here. I like to compare when black people go through something and when other people go through things. It's not the same thing. And even with our own people, you know, we be criticizing our own people, but we don't see how the system is really trying to stop this brother because the movie's coming out.
Absolutely. I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but thank you for the call, brother. Yeah, that's pretty much the theme of the show. I'm going to talk about that later. Let me see who else is on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is James from Baltimore.
James, how you doing, family?
Hey, man, long time listener since the Mac Lessons radio days, man.
Yes,
so I'm glad I got through.
Yes, indeed. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, did you see the street artist who converted that Birth of a Nation poster?
No. What'd he do?
All right, so there's a street artist, right? And you know how the poster has Nate Parker's face being hung by the American flag.
Right.
This dude removes Birth of a and puts a rapist and a question mark under his face.
Oh, wow. Well, who did this? Nah. Who's the dude? Where did he do this?
This is some street artist. It's on Twitter. I'll tweet you the link. It's on Twitter, but it's some street artist. You know how they like to be underground and mysterious and everything.
Yeah.
But I was saying this is really dangerous, you know, because, you know, America's got a history of white supremacy and violence based on these kind of tropes of the over-sexualized black male trying to prey on the white women all the time.
Absolutely. And the street artist, by the way, he's a black guy, right?
Oh, that's the thing. I don't know. And I said, look, if it's a black guy, you should be ashamed of yourself, you know, trying to cash in when that brother was acquitted, first of all, and using that kind of imagery. Because even if he took off the words birth of a, what it really looks like to me is you saying birth of a rapist. Like
right,
every
right.
black man is born to rape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And America is hanging black men justifiably for those crimes.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's not the case. So if he's black, he should be ashamed of himself. And if he's not black, and he's using that kind of imagery to get ahead in the art world, and I got a bigger problem with that, because now you got privilege on top of that, and you're about to get some money by catching on these racist tropes.
Absolutely. I mean, thank you for the call, brother. Yeah, like I said, I'm going to get into that. I don't want to jump ahead of the gun. I'm going to get into that in one second. A couple other things I wanted to talk about. Now y'all know a brother got shot out there in Milwaukee, Sylville Smith, and, you know, I was on CNN, HNL talking about it, and, you know, they're trying their best to criminalize that brother. We got to understand the brother, all this stuff about him being a violent thug, criminal, long criminal record. They keep talking about this long criminal record. This brother only had a misdemeanor. He did not have a long record. You got to watch these white supremacists in the media and online. They'll say stuff over and over again, and they know that black folks, a lot of times, we don't research. We do the research over here. Sylville Smith only has a misdemeanor. He doesn't have a long record. Now, he's been arrested a number of times because he was being harassed by the police because he was another one of these people who had a lawsuit against the police department, according to his family. And from what I understand, I think he won the lawsuit. So they, law enforcement, will send their race soldiers to harass black folks who have lawsuits against them. Just like Freddie Gray, from what I understand, had a lawsuit against the Baltimore police. He won, and this brother ended up dead. I heard my man Eric Garner had a lawsuit going on against the police before he was executed on film. Our sister in Baltimore, Corinne Gaines, she was going through some stuff with the police back and forth for a long time, and I'm thinking that she was going to have some kind of lawsuit going on before she was executed. I'm hearing Sandra Bland was planning on filing some kind of suit. A lot of this stuff, a lot of folks don't know that I've been hearing as far as black folks dealing with law enforcement, and they're getting lawsuits on them, and then they end up dead somewhere. Now, this is for a fact. In Flint, there were several black people who filed suit against the city of Flint for that lead in the water crisis. A lot of those black people who filed cases, they ended up dead. So So we got to look at this game and see how it's played. These white supremacists are not playing. We got to be aware of the entire chessboard. We got to really be aware of the entire chessboard. Because these white supremacists are criminalizing us. And there was a case that happened this weekend of a white guy down in Florida, Marin County, Florida, Martin County, Florida. Where are my Florida people? Where in Florida is that? Is that South Florida, Central Florida? I'm not too familiar with that part of Florida. But this white dude, 19-year-old white man named Austin Herouf, this dude killed two people, and he tried to eat one of the people he killed. He killed a white couple. A white boy killed a white couple, white on white crime. And they said the white boy was on some type of drug or whatever. They said it might have been flocka or whatever. Who knows? But he killed two people, and he was eating them or trying to eat one of them. Google this. It's South Florida. People in the chat room, you should see how the media is reporting that story. Now, first of all, when the police showed up and he was eating some damn body after he killed him, they didn't shoot him. They tased him. So, you know, this just goes to show, don't wait for the white supremacists to make a confession. The way they deal with their criminals is totally different. All of a sudden, they know how to follow procedure. They know how to do things in the proper context of training. They know not to execute people. I mean, the dude was sitting up here eating one of the two people he killed. They tased him, brought him in alive. They're doing everything to save this guy. The media is giving him a pass. They're talking about, and this is an article, it says, well, Austin Herouf, he had no criminal record. He was a good kid, said the Martin County Sheriff. Adding that Herouf had no apparent relationship to his victims and that the attack seemed to be random. So they're already doing that. He was a good boy who never harmed nobody. It was the drugs that did it. Probably some drugs sold to him by some Negroes named Lefty, Shifty, and D-Ro. I wouldn't be surprised if they start that whole bullshit. If they figure out a way to blame a nigga. That's how slick these white supremacists are. Just like that story with that governor. He was a governor or a mayor or whatever. It was some town on the eastern seaboard that's all white, and it was a meth problem, so he blamed the meth on black folks coming in from New York selling it. This is how the white supremacists, they won't own up to their shit for nothing. So they're already talking about, well, it's the flocka, and watch that, because they a drug named after a rapper, by the way, a black rapper. You see that? If you look at articles about this dude eating folks, they keep mentioning flocka. You see that? A drug named after a black rapper. They're real slick on slipping in black folks' slander. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start blaming some black person for selling the flocka to them. They're very slick, family. Y'all got to be, we got to get off this whole naive goofball bullshit. And we got to understand that we got to understand the entertainment game. This is what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about the industry and how the industry has an industry lynch mob. And I'm talking about the entertainment industry, and that covers movies, sports, television, and everything else. See, if you don't play ball, if you don't get on point, they have a lynch mob. Now, they used to tear you down, literally. They used to go out in the streets and just string you up and hang you. Now they know how to be more sophisticated with their lynching. They can do virtual lynchings. And they still can do a lynching, meaning they can put a bullet in you and kill you if need be. But what's more effective is doing a virtual lynching, because then they can use some of their strategically placed minions in the Negro community to assist them. And they know how to lynch you, and they know how to castrate you virtually. They do virtual lynchings. They do virtual castrations. For example, with Cam Newton. Now, a couple of days ago, a lot of people were getting on Cam Newton's case because Cam Newton did an interview with, well, I think it was Vogue. Help me out in the chat room. The chat room, where did Cam Newton do that interview? Cam Newton did an interview with, is Vogue or GQ? He did some interview with one magazine. I'm trying to remember what it was. And in the interview, he was talking about, because they asked him stuff about race, and that was very deliberate. That was very deliberate. They asked him some stuff about race. Wait, somebody in the chat room said Sheriff Clark's family is in here. Well, I'm looking at the chat room right now. Who's Sheriff Clark's family? I would love for them to call up. Who's Sheriff Clark's family in the chat room? If you're his family, I would definitely like you to call up. Hopefully, it's not somebody just trolling. But Cam Newton, it was GQ Magazine. The chat room said that it was GQ Magazine that Cam Newton did the interview. And the reporter specifically asked something about race. Okay, he's trolling. That's Wizard of Coon Valley. He's trolling. Stop it. Y'all should have known that. But the reporter deliberately asked Cam Newton, and that's very slick. When they start asking athletes about race, knowing that they can't really say anything too provocative, knowing that they can't really do anything to jump off the coon train, knowing they have to kind of go along with the system, they can't challenge it. The reporter asked Cam Newton about race, so he, you know, had to tiptoe on the coon train a little bit. And I'm not beating the brother up. I'm not beating him up at all. A lot of people were beating up Cam Newton about his comments. And basically, he said something to the effect of, well, you know, racism doesn't affect me. Racism don't exist no more. Or something like, well, as Americans, you know, we're past racism. So he had to give one of them bullshit ass answers. And, you know, he was kind of forced to do it to a certain degree. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because I would say, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I might be wrong. He might just be a big old coon. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because he couldn't say the opposite. I mean, let's be real. If he said the opposite, man, that would have messed with his endorsements. They would have done a virtual lynching of him. Now, I always say when they ask these athletes about race, what they need to do is say, well, you know what? I'll leave that up to people who are more versed into discussing racial issues. Just say that instead of jumping on the coon train, because that's always a loaded question when they ask athletes some question about race. It's always loaded because they want you to put yourself out there so all the white supremacists can start attacking you like they attack me 24 hours a day. If you look at my Twitter, I'm attacked by white supremacists literally about 20 hours of the day. If you look at my Twitter now, there's probably a bunch of white supremacist trolls at this moment at Tariq Nasheed at Twitter trolling my shit now. Twitter, they gave me like a special filter. Like certain people, if they see that you're getting trolled a lot, you get a special filter to use on your timeline so you can filter out some of the comments that are similar to other comments. And if they come from real strange accounts, there's an automatic filter that Twitter will give you. But Cam Newton made those comments basically saying, well, you know, racism, we're past that, giving an answer that white people want to hear. So now a lot of people in the dominant society are giving him praises and props, and they're trying to front on black folks for criticizing Cam Newton. They're like, hey, why are you so mad at Cam? Cam's an honorable guy. Why are you mad at Cam Newton? Because he has a difference of opinion. Now, these are the white supremacists talking this shit. And what's interesting, do y'all remember a few months ago, like a year ago, these same white supremacists were calling Cam Newton a thug, nigga, gangster, gang member, hoodlum, because he was doing the dab. They were calling him a degenerate thug hoodlum, And a year ago, they were trying to tie him into some gang shit. They were talking about he was a gang member. Remember that? But the minute he starts taking racism out of the equation and acting like racism doesn't exist, all of a sudden, oh, he's a great guy. Just like Richard Sherman. Remember Richard Sherman when he was real hyped up after the game and he was yelling into the microphone, but they made it seem like he was yelling at the female anchor, and they started calling him all types of thug, nigger, hoodlums. And once he jumped on the coon train, got on the what about black on black crime train, all of a sudden, well, he's one of the good ones. Richard Sherman is one of the good ones. He's great. How come you guys can't be more like him? You dig? So they make you get on that coon train. So all my athletes and entertainers, if you're not really ready to go on out there and articulate systematic racism and what it is, just play past those questions, because those questions are always loaded. And what they want you to do, they want you to, because those questions, they put you in a very peculiar predicament, because you're going to either isolate yourself with your black base, or you're going to isolate yourself with those white dollars. So that's why you see so many athletes jumping on the coon train, especially ESPN. ESPN is a goddamn plantation. It's just so much cooning on there, it's ridiculous. But if you stand up and speak out against systematic injustice like Marshawn Lynch, you know, they'll start getting on you a little bit. They'll start trying to reprimand you and start criticizing every little thing you do. Why are you wearing that hat? Why are you wearing that hat with the logo? Why are you not giving interviews? That's why my man Marshawn was being very defiant when he was giving those interviews. I take my hat off to him. He's one of the few people that stands up against that bullshit. And y'all see how they try to treat that brother. And he fights back in a subtle way as much as he can. And I respect that. I respect that brother to the highest degree. Because the thing is with black athletes, because they cannot beat us on the field, they can't beat us on the court, they can't beat us on the golf course, they try to beat you outside of the sports arena in their system. They're very good at reprimanding black athletes if they don't act right off the field. That's why I love when Marshawn Lynch got out there doing interviews after the game. He was like, well, you know why I'm here. I ain't answering shit, but you know why I'm here. I ain't gotta answer nothing. Yeah, y'all can make me sit here, but I don't have to answer your bullshit. So you know why I'm here. I love that. Love it. Somebody said, what about Bomani? How do you pronounce that brother's name? Bomani Jones? How do you pronounce his name? I always get his name mixed up, but he's Bo Jones. He's thorough. I give it up to that brother. Now he's thorough. Bomani, I think that's how you pronounce his name, but he's thorough. Shout out to Gabby Douglas. At the Olympics, a lot of people were getting on her because she didn't put her hand over her heart doing the Pledge of Allegiance. I respect that. We know what she was doing. That was a subtle way of protesting systematic racism. And I respect that. Now, she played it off. She was on code. I respect that. The fuck we pledging allegiance for, and you got black people out here still getting lynched. That was her version of putting up the black fist. I love it. I love it. Now, y'all stop, and let me say this about Gabby Douglas. Y'all leave that little girl alone about her edges. Black folks, y'all ain't shit. Y'all talking about her little edges. I mean, she's in a damn competition. She ain't got time to be worrying about all that stupid nigga shit. So let her little edges were dry, but yeah, she's handling her business. After she gets off that damn gymnastics field, then she can go down to Juanita's bumper curl and get her edges laid down in some tracks. Leave that girl alone. Y'all worrying about nigga shit. She's handling business. These black folks talking about that girl's edges. You dig? Somebody in the chat room said all our edges look like that. Yes, they do. You damn right they do. She's getting it in. I love Gabby Douglas. Leave our sister alone. And these are hood rats who be going after our sister. but I digress. We're talking about the Nat Parker movie, The Birth of a Nation. Now, a year ago, I think that was a year ago, Nat Parker, actor, he's been in some notable films, The Great Debaters, Beyond the Lights, a lot of good stuff, Red Tails. He's been in the game for about a decade at least. He's been in some major funded films. You know, he's good track record, very good actor. So Nate Parker, this brother, did something that a lot of black actors within the Hollywood system don't do. He did something that we did with the Hidden Colors series. And I'm tying that in for a reason, by the way. You got your own funding. Created and directed a movie himself. Got it made. He premiered his movie at Sundance. There was a bidding war. And the movie is about the Nat Turner Rebellion. Very controversial subject. Because Hollywood wasn't going to fund a movie like that. So the movie was made. He put it out. High quality movie. Everybody at Sundance liked it, loved it. Rave reviews at Sundance. There was a bidding war. I think it was boiled down to Byron Allen's company and Fox Searchlight. And he chose Fox Searchlight from what I understand. I think Byron Allen offered more money. And to be honest, and I think I said this back then, I think he should have went with Byron Allen. I think my man should have went with Byron Allen. I think he went with Fox Searchlight because I think they probably promised him more perks and all that. But we got to understand this, family. I really wish he would have went with Byron, brother. That would have been a more powerful move because understand, when you do something revolutionary, the white supremacists, they'll come along and throw some money at you, but they'll throw money at you and they'll buy out the competition simply so you don't win. Not because they want to make you a team player. Basically, they'll buy you out to silence you. They will buy you out to silence you. There are artists out there who they'll buy a contract or they'll sign them to a record label just to shelf them. Look at what they did to Bobby Smurda. Look at what they did to Bobby Smurda. Bobby Smurda had the hottest record in the street. That Hot Niggas record was the hottest record in the street. Epic Records signed this dude, got the rights to his song and his other music. And then right after the brother got signed over his rights, they gave him whatever bullshit advance money, which they probably spent that bullshit advance in a week. Bobby Smurda is in jail. He got arrested. That man is still in jail now. While Epic Records still own the rights to his shit. And he's gone. Just like that. They got the rights to his shit. They're not even getting him out of jail. And Bobby Smurda didn't shoot nobody. Bobby Smurda didn't commit no crime. They're using the all-in law on Bobby Smurda. They're convicting him charging him for crimes that his so-called associates did. One of the more bullshit RICO laws that was supposed to be for the mafia. There's no black organized crime at all. But the thing is, understand, these people, the white supremacists, they'll buy you out just so you won't be able to compete. Not because they want to do business with you. That goes to an old Rockefeller quote, John Rockefeller, the old suspected white supremacist fortune owner of the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller Empire. He made a quote years ago. He said, "Competition is a sin." That means you ain't supposed to have competition. You're supposed to dominate everything. That's why they had to sue Rockefeller for having a monopoly on the oil industry. And they still do. They still do have a monopoly on it. What they do, one group of people own everything and they break their ownership up in different groups and call it different names, but it's all owned by one person. So like BP, Chevron, all that shit, basically owned by the same folks. Just like in the movie industry, because there was a monopoly in the movie industry, because you had the studio execs owning the studio, owning the production companies, owning the camera equipment, owning the actors, because they had to sign contracts exclusively to the studio, and they owned the movie theaters. So they had a complete monopoly on the system. They had to try to bust that up. So what they did, they start coming up with different names, but they were all under the same umbrella. So that's the thing. Competition is a sin to the white supremacists. So when they bought the rights to Nate Parker's movie, I said, okay. And a lot of people were shocked. So was I. And I said, let me see what they're going to do with this. Because understanding white supremacy, they don't just let you go around them, make a movie about Nat damn Turner, something that they would never fund themselves in a million years, and then jump up here and do a real quick sweet deal with somebody, and then just put it out and let that brother ball out. I ain't never seen that before. So I'm like, let me see how this is going to play out. Let me see when the whammy bammy is going to fall through. And now we're seeing the whammy bammy. Now we are seeing the whammy bammy. I knew the whammy bammy was coming, and sure enough, the whammy bammy was coming. Just like my man Eddie Griffin said, they don't let no black man get out the game clean. Now, they were talking about this movie, The Birth of a Nation, and the movie is going to be released in about a month, in October. It was supposed to be released in October. Everybody's anticipating to see this movie. Now, all of a sudden, out the blue, a story came out this weekend, or this week, and the story got emphasized talking about a rape case that Nate Parker, he was in a rape case back in, what year was it, guys? Was it year 2001, 2000? It was a rape case he was involved in where he was acquitted. He was acquitted of this rape case and was a white woman. And it was a real big controversy at the time. It was a sister who was on Twitter. She was there at the court case, and she talked about how everything was racially charged. The white woman, you know, got drunk, got high or whatever, had sex with him, and I think one of his partners or whatever. Because Nate was already a kind of a consensual relationship with the woman, a consensual sexual relationship with her. But the woman, you know, had sexual relations with him, and from what I understand through the transcripts in the court testimony, she got drunk and high or whatever and then tried to say he raped her, and he was acquitted. And that should have been the end of that. And there was another co-defendant there, and the co-defendant was convicted, but I heard later on the conviction got overturned. And later on, the white girl in like 2012, I think she committed suicide. And it's not, I don't think it's related to that case. Sound like this woman might have been troubled anyway. But again, that's a common theme. And that's been a common theme for a couple of centuries for suspected white supremacist females to accuse black men of rape. That's a come up. That's always been a come up. Now, have there been black men who rape white women? Yeah, there's been cases, for real. Now, have there been cases of white women lying about being raped? Yes. Have there been cases of white women lying about rape when it comes to black men? Yes. Many, many times. Whole cities have been destroyed based on white women saying somebody raped them. Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Black Wall Street area was completely destroyed. Black people were bombed. An entire city was bombed because a white woman lied and said a black kid raped her. Emmett Till was killed, a little boy, because of a rape. And rape means whistling. He whistled at a white woman, and that's rape. Understand this, and I've always said this. Any sex that a black man has with a white woman, even if it's consensual, is considered rape in the system of white supremacy. They always give the white female the option to say that it was rape anytime she decides to change her mind about what she did. They give her that option. Just like with Cosby. They give you that option to wait 40 or 50 years to say, hey, wait a minute. Back in 1950, when I had sex with that black person, you know, I think I was raped. I didn't want to say nothing back then, but I think I was raped. So give me my come up right now. And that system will allow you to be believed. Whereas a black person can be on film getting harmed by a white person, and we still have to wait for more facts. We can have our brains blown out by a white person on film, but, well, this, we just need more evidence. A white woman says she was raped in 1940 by a Negro. Oh, that nigga did it. That's all the evidence we need. He did it. Black child shot on camera. We don't know what happened before the tape. So with Nate Parker, the movie's about to come out. They throw these rape allegations, and now, all of a sudden, basically on the same day, they had one of these coordinated dogpile attacks from these pretend fake black feminists on social media. These are the same exact people who do slander campaigns on me every single time I'm about to release a Hidden Colors film. These same exact people. This is why I've been telling y'all for years, these little slander attacks are always coordinated by the white supremacists. They get their Negro minions on Twitter, on social media, and they will tell them on a specific day, start slandering back to back everybody at once. They do it to me all the damn time. I've been telling y'all about this for years. And it is coordinated. Many of these people are associated with Ebony.com. These are a lot of bummy ass Negro writers who have to give hand jobs for writing gigs at some of these major publications. So they got a whole set of Negroes, moist dudes and Negro bedwenches, who will suck a white dick at the drop of a hat, who will do the bidding of the white supremacists, who will start trolling and start making these illogical comments for white mommy, white daddy. So when the white supremacists start to demonize me and Nat Parker in their stories, or Nate Parker, I keep saying Nat. So when the major publications start to demonize Nate Parker, they can pretend that it ain't racial because they can point to the black folks who did it first. And look at this article that came out in Variety magazine. Now this proves how full of shit this whole slander campaign is. Now this is a quote from Variety magazine, because they talked about this. They were talking about, well, the release of Birth of a Nation is questioned. We're questioning the release of it. This says, according to sources, studio execs at Searchlight are assessing the fallout from a fresh round of stories about the incident on prominent news sites and African American targeted sites. Right there shows me they are full of shit. And look how they worded it. They made sure not to say African American owned sites. They said African American targeted sites. Look at the language. This is how slick these white supremacists are, because they know there are no black owned sites. There's no black-owned media. TV One is the closest, and Roland Martin loves to say that. We black-owned. You know, he loves talking about that. But a lot of these black-owned media outlets, which the only one I know of is TV One, they still have white advertisers primarily. And I'm not knocking TV1. Again, shout out to Kathy Hughes. I got a lot of respect for Kathy Hughes. But there is no real black media, no real black-owned media. So they were very slick and very meticulous about using the term African-American targeted media. because the blogs and the so-called black media, the black websites, they're all white owned. They're all white owned that target the black audience, but they're still satellites of the white corporations. So now these articles are making it seem like, well, it was the black targeted media that let us know about the rape case. So they were upset about it. So now we're just following the black media's lead. Bullshit. Bull to the shit. That's such a crock of bullshit. Now they're listening to black folks and following our lead now. When black folks out here begging for justice, when black people out here talking about, hey, stop calling us criminals, stop printing articles about us being thugs, stop demonizing children who get killed and victims who get killed, all of a sudden now you're listening to the black media, now you're listening to the black blogs and these little insignificant, broke-ass, nothing-ass, Negro bedwench dick suckers out here who pretend to be feminists, these moist niggas out here who pretend to be male feminists, who are out here just trying to get attention and white dick, now you're listening to these inconsequential niggas? Now? Really? Bullshit. That's that whole shit. The white supremacists always pretend that they got their cue from a black person when it's time to harm and disenfranchise other black people. Bill Clinton did that recently. When people were fronting Bill Clinton off on them three strike laws and all that, Bill was like, well, you know what? I talked to black leaders and they were so upset about the drugs in their community and the thugs, and it was the black leaders that wanted me to do something. Get the fuck out of here. Ain't no such thing as a black leader. There are no black leaders. So miss me with that. Ain't no black leaders. It's no black people telling them what to do and they're listening and they're going to go out and do it. We're always begging for something. They tell us to eat a dick. Now you listening to the black leaders? No. So they're very good at that. So online, they started this whole fake outrage campaign. And it's nothing but trolling. Every time a lot of people, y'all been trying to have a logical conversation with these folks, you can't have a logical conversation with them. The name of the game is to just troll the same comments over and over again. Nat Parker is a racist. Nate Parker is a racist. A rapist. Then they tried to say he was homophobic because he didn't want to play a gay guy. So they always throw that in. They do that. They do the same shit to me all the time. They say that Hidden Colors is homophobic. They say that Hidden Colors don't like black women. Hidden Colors was anti-gay. They throw out a bunch of bullshit to see if it'll stick. And just repeat the same lie over and over again. That's their tactic. It ain't about logic. You cannot have a logical conversation with them because it's not about logic. It's about throwing as much shit on the wall to see if the shit will stick so white mommy and daddy can pick up on the shit and run with it. That's the tactic. That's why when you try to have a conversation with them, hey, well, according to the facts, you know what, fuck that, you trash, and you a hotep trash. Then they start name calling and acting silly. That's the name of the game. They are minions of white supremacy. They are minions of white supremacy, and they do that every time I got Hidden Colors coming out. They do the same technique. The thing is, with me, I didn't go to white mommy and white daddy for any funding. I didn't go to them for distribution either. And another thing, I got the streets on my back. So the streets was riding with me. See, most people don't have that. See, I can go into the corporate world, in the mainstream media world, and I got that street shit. Most people do not have that. So when you got that street back up, and you can go into corporate America, and you can go into the mainstream media, they can't control the streets like that. And the mainstream know that. You can't control. They try to. There's only so. You can't control the streets. That's why, man, I always keep a foot to the street game, man. That's why I always try to keep that connection. Because that's one thing. You can control things to a certain degree. But the streets is very unpredictable. And they know that. The streets is very unpredictable. And they know that. And when you got that connection and you got people backing you up and riding for you, they'll hold you down. And the streets, my folks, knew how to handle all the backlash and the slander from all the fake feminists. They started calling them out because they knew what it was and they saw the game and they knew how to shut all that bullshit down. See, Nat, unfortunately, Nate Parker don't have that. You know what I'm saying? He's a pretty much straight up and down mainstream type of dude trying to ease over into the independence game. That's why you got to have some street connects, man. You got to have that street shit so the streets can back you up and hold you down. This is why if you go independent, man, you got to go all the way independent. If you're going to do something like that Nat Turner story, my man should have went to Byron Allen at least. My man should have, he should have went with Byron because Byron offered more paper and it wouldn't have been all that old slanderous bullshit. Even if they slandered it, that wouldn't have jeopardized the release of the film because what they're doing, let me tell y'all the game that they're playing. The thing is, with this movie, because it may or may not come out the way they're talking, they might use this as an excuse to not even put the movie out. You know, that's a real possibility, but what I'm telling you, what they're definitely doing, if they do put the movie out and the movie is a success, they're putting this rape jacket cloud over this man. And understand this. You have people like Roman Polanski, who was convicted of rape back in the 70s, skipped town, moved over to Europe, and Hollywood, they've been protecting this guy for years. Go back, there was an article in 2009 when Roman Polanski, he went over to Switzerland, and they arrested him in Switzerland. Because, see, in Switzerland, that's a neutral country. They're neutral, so they got their own little laws over there. That's why you have people over there with Swiss bank accounts. Swiss has always been a neutral country. That's where a lot of the superpowers do a lot of work at. And they dictate a lot of stuff. That's why Switzerland is, they've never been in a war. They've never been bombed. That's a central location. It's a neutral zone. So I don't know if he was visiting Switzerland, changing flights or whatever, but they arrested Roman Polanski in Switzerland. And Hollywood backed that man up. All the big wigs in Hollywood, knowing that this guy's a rapist, they backed him up and got him up out of Switzerland, made sure he was safe, and made sure they did not bring him back to the States for prosecution. So Hollywood knows how to protect a damn rapist now. Let's be very clear. They know it, like Woody Allen, all these people. But Roman Polanski, look up that story. Roman Polanski getting arrested in Switzerland. Look that up. They damn sure protected him. And the thing is, you got to understand how the white supremacists work. Because if they cannot co-opt you, which is what they did, they co-opted Nate Parker, so now they control him. That's why my man should have went with Byron fucking Allen, man. He should have went with Byron. Kept that shit black independent. Because now they co-opted his shit, so now they can smear his name and basically blacklist that brother. So now they blacklist him. They're blacklisting him right now, putting that rape jacket on him. You keep calling somebody a rapist, 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 even though they've been acquitted. And you just keep saying this shit over and over and putting out stories saying the same thing over and over again. So now when people go see a movie with Nate Parker in it, you thinking about this rape shit that you done heard over and over again. They didn't even do that with the Seventh Heaven dad. That dude who admitted to molesting kids. They didn't even do that with him. So if this movie does well, they're going to make sure that Nate Parker, I keep getting mixed up. They're going to make sure that he's not a power player in the game. This is what all the slander is about. They're going to make sure he's not going to be a power player in the game. They're going to make sure that this dude ain't going to be able to call no shots in the game. So if this thing gets Oscar buzz, they're going to kill that with the rape shit. They're going to kill that Oscar buzz with the rape shit. And again, they're going to shit on this dude where he's blacklisted in the industry. See, this is why certain projects, you don't let them co-opt that. Just like with the Hidden Colors series, I have no desire to even get distribution from anybody within the mainstream industry. This is 100% independent. and the Hidden Colors film, we made it successful on its own. It's still the number one documentary in the world right now. You go to Amazon, it's still number one. And understand this, because they watch what we do on an independent level. If they can't co-op you, they'll just kind of piggyback off your shit. If they cannot co-op you, they will piggyback off your shit. Have y'all seen the new trailer for a movie that they got coming out called Hidden Figures? There's a new movie that Hollywood is putting out called Hidden Figures. Now, this movie is a Black history movie about some Black women who worked at NASA. They were the first Black women at NASA. I think the movie takes place in the 1960s. And I looked at the trailer, and I want y'all to look at, you look at the trailer, it's about some Black women growing up in, I don't know if it's in the South or whatever. Janelle Monáe is in it. Taraji P. Henson is in it. And I'm looking at the trailer, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's just like a historical piece. It looks interesting. It had a touch of some bedwinching going on. There was one scene where Janelle Monáe was looking at a white guy, and it was, I think Taraji said, don't look at him like that. Ooh, I can look, he's fine, or some shit like that. I said, oh, I hope it ain't. I hope they're not going to have a bedwinch moment in this movie. But I'm looking at the trailer, and I'm looking, and the trailer goes off, and I'm like, why in the world would they name this film Hidden Figures? That, the title Hidden Figures don't even go with this film. What does that mean? The title don't even go. They could have called it Sisters of NASA. There's something else they could have called it. But you're looking at the trailer, and I'm like, how did Hidden Figures get worked into this damn title? The reason why they named that film Hidden Figures is directly because of the success of Hidden Colors. That's not a damn coincidence. Let's be real. That ain't no fucking coincidence at all, man. That movie, the title Hidden Figures don't even go with that movie. Somebody said sue him. You can't sue him because I don't own the rights to the word Hidden Figures. But I'm just saying, and I'm not mad at him. I understand how the game goes. Understand this. In movies, a lot of times, they understand how to make movie titles based on search engine hits. They see something that's hot and make something or label something similar to what is hot, so that by name association, certain shit can get hot based on name association. Do you understand that? They know the marketing corporations, they know how to work algorithms and aggregation sites, and they know how to find and use certain words that's going to get big hits. They know that Hidden Colors is the biggest film in Black society right now. They know that. And that's not the first time a major corporation has done that. Remember, a couple of years ago, Nike put out some t-shirts called Hidden Images. And the t-shirt had an image of LeBron James that was artistically made to look like the cover of Hidden Colors 2 DVD. I want y'all to Google that. Hidden Images t-shirts. The t-shirt looked like the cover of the Hidden Colors 2 DVD. Now, we almost sued over that because, you know, we had to go to lawyers and all that shit. But the thing is, they know how to market certain films by giving it certain titles. Because the thing is, if you look up a certain film title that's hot and their name is associated with it, or there's a similar name, because a lot of times movies are listed in Netflix and other systems in alphabetical order. So if somebody's looking up Hidden Colors, the next fucking thing they're going to see is Hidden Figures. I'm just showing y'all how the game is. So if you're on iTunes looking up movies to watch and you watching Hidden Colors and you're looking through alphabetical order, what's right after Hidden Colors? Hidden Figures. Do this right now. I want y'all to do this right now as we're talking. Go to Google. Let me give you an example of exactly what I'm talking about. Go to Google right now. Type in Black History Movie Hidden. Don't even type in colors. Don't even type in the, just Black History Movie Hidden. And what do you see? The first two things you see hidden colors and you see hidden figures. You go see that right now. You see hidden colors and hidden figures. That's not a coincidence. That's how they do marketing. I'm telling y'all, I know how they do this shit. Somebody said they about to put out a white Tariq Nasheed. Well, they did that with my relationship books. Nigga, when I would go do meetings in Hollywood about the dating and relationship books, I would go and we would pitch something to the network. Then a week later, we'll see in the trade papers the same idea I just pitched them. It just got greenlit with a white host. I'm like, what the fuck? Didn't I just... Okay. That's why I said, let me stop giving these motherfuckers my ideas. Yeah, but the algorithm game is very true. They market stuff based on hot algorithm names and all that. That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. So we got to understand the game, man. They will try to do an industry lynching and they'll get their Negro minions to do the lynching. And we got to be very cognizant of that. This is why certain projects, we have to try to keep them as independent as possible. Certain things, we got to understand white supremacy and understand certain things they're going to sabotage. Don't think just because they're skinning and grinning and laughing and hugging with you that they are bringing you in to their circle. No, they'll exploit you for what they can exploit you for. They can get some out of it by having you around. Understand that. Always understand that. See, black folks, we got this thing when people in the dominant society comes hollering at us. We think we in. We think we in the loop. Nah. That's like, look, I'm doing a lot of stuff on CNN, HLN. I'm doing a lot of stuff on there, like the Dr. Drew show. Now, I'm realistic. One of the reasons I'm on Dr. Drew's show a lot, they call me on the show, and I like doing the show. I have a good time doing the show. But the reason why I'm on there a lot is, understand this. Let's be very clear. When I'm on there, they get a ratings bump. They get a ratings bump when I'm on there. So I get to spit for about 2 or 3 minutes because they got me on there real fast. But when I'm on there, that equals, what, millions of dollars for them because of those ratings bumps. When you get a ratings bump and a lot of people tuning in at a certain time, that's millions of dollars in advertising money. So even if they disagree with what I'm saying, they like the money that's coming in, that those ratings bumps that pop through. I'm very aware of that, not because they like me so damn much. They know when I get on there, a lot of people tune in and a lot of people talk about it. And I get what I get out of the game. I use that as an advertisement for my shit. Make sure you say my movie. Let me get my shit up out of it. You know, it's business. I don't go in there skinning and grinning, trying to, you know, hey, let's go to the park. No. This is business. Let's handle some business. You know, when I get on, every time I get on television, I've always been told I got a high Q rating. Like when I used to do MTV Made and all that, they would give me special episodes because I had a high Q rating whenever I was on television. People like seeing the episodes that I was on. And let me say, when I was about to release the Hidden Colors films, I had a whole bunch of people trying to give me television shows based on relationships. And one thing I noticed, I kept getting an unusual amount of offers. I'm like, hey, what's this about? And I started looking at some of these contracts, and basically in these contracts for reality shows, a lot of folks don't know this. I talked about this before. When you do reality shows, first of all, you don't make a lot of money. All these people you see on Love and Hip Hop and all that, they're not making a lot of money. On cable shows, you do not make a lot of money on these reality shows. I remember Charlie Murphy, hell, even the scripted shows, Charlie Murphy was talking about being on the Chappelle show. Charlie Murphy got $500 an episode on Chappelle's show. So that gives you an idea of the money you're getting on MTV and VH1, these non-scripted shows. Quote unquote, by the way. Because many of these shows are scripted, but they're not paying, they're paying you pennies. Now, when I did a pilot with VH1, we did a pilot for one of my books, The Art of Gold Digging. I got like $20,000-$30,000, but that's because they bought the rights and I became a producer on there. So, you know, I knew how to wheel and deal, but that was years ago. Now, with these reality show contracts, they have something called the Bethany Frankel Clause. And Bethany Frankel, she was one of these women on the Housewives shows who used that to create a multi-million dollar empire for herself. So the industry said, hey, wait a minute, we putting these people on television, giving them shine, and they're getting $100 million endorsements and deals. We need in on that. So they got shit in contracts now. If you sign up to do a reality show, they get a percentage of everything you do outside of that reality show. Any endorsements, any film, any other TV work, they get a percentage of every other thing you do forever. Nigga, y'all should see some of these reality show contracts. Now, yeah, somebody said 360 deal. It's worse than a 360 deal. It's just like the music industry have those 360 deals where they get everything. They get your show money, everything. TV got the same shit. TV has the same thing, because they say, their logic is, well, we're putting you on television, we're giving you this shine, and the reason why you're getting advertising money is because of us. We want some of that endorsement money. And I start looking at these contracts, and based on the contracts, if I would have signed for a reality show doing like relationships and all that shit, they would have gotten a percentage or part ownership of the Hidden Colors series. If I would have signed, they would have had part ownership of the Hidden Colors series. And that's why I was like, hells to the no. That ain't happening at all. But you got to understand, man, this is what they do. The name of the game is to co-op your shit. The name of the game is to co-op, take over, dominate, and remove competition. That's why I got a lot of respect for Byron Allen, man. I'd love to do some stuff with Byron Allen. I'd love to do some stuff with Nate, man. Nate needed that street connect, man. You need that street connect, man. So when people start attacking you, you got the streets to back you up to a certain degree. What's up? Somebody said when I'm coming to the Bay. Pretty soon, man. I got to get back out to the Bay. But anyway, y'all, man, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Real good chopping up game with the family. Y'all, don't forget, go to Hidden Colors Film right now. Hidden Colors film.com. Get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Go to TariqElite.com. Get all that fresh gear, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm gonna holla. Y'all have a good one.